Verse 12. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered thy servant Job, my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge around about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou not blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. May God bless the hearing and the reading of his precious and his eternal word. Is there really a devil? Some theologians don't believe so. Some churches don't believe so. That there is a real, personal devil who is a person, who works in people's lives, who is in the earth. I run upon people every once in a while that do not acknowledge that there is a devil. Now you say, why would you come to church and preach about the devil? I'll tell you why. Because we have him to fight. Now, if you don't believe in the devil, you must have been born about 20 minutes ago somewhere in another country, someplace that I don't know about. But my friend, if you have been out this morning, I don't know, if you got the morning newspaper, you'd have to believe there's a devil. If you listen to the television or the radio, you'd have to believe that there is a real devil out there. And my friend, if you look around you at the human beings and their conditions that are living in this world, then you'll have to come to the conclusion that there is a devil. Now, I don't know how you fight him. I used to come to church down the old church years ago, and I remember Grandma Marshall running through the church, and she'd be sweeping the place clean, running the devil out of the church. Up one aisle and down the next, in one door and out the next. And she'd be rebuking the devil all the time and frame away with her hands. If you went to our church over on Little Creek, you might have seen Mommy Woodyard out there with the broom. Because sometimes Sister Woodyard would get the broom, she's going to sweep the devil out the door. Well, I'm all for that. Frame out, sweep him out. But that really, really won't get the job done, will it? And you say, well, who is this devil anyway? Who is this person? Well, let's look at his history. He has a history. And if you read the whole Bible, you won't get it in one chapter or one place. But if you put together all the clues that are in the scripture, you will have a historical and current picture of who this devil is. Now, more or less, he's always called Satan, but sometimes he is called the devil. And he was a corrupted angel. It's kind of funny to me to think of a corrupted angel, isn't it? We like to think about when our loved ones have gone on, they become angels in heaven. Actually, they become better than angels. They're the redeemed of the Lord, the sons and daughters of God, and they're better than any angel, or as Snuffy Smith and the Funny People used to say, better than every angel ever is. And the angels, my friend, have something that you have. They have free will. Now, they don't have a plan of redemption. They don't have a plan to get them back in fellowship with God. If they fail God, if they rebel against God, if they turn against God, evidently there's no help, because there's none specified in the scriptures at all. This fellow, the devil, he has a name. In fact is, of all the angels that God made, and I don't know how many that is, and nobody knows how many there is. Millions, probably. Billions, it's possible. I don't know how many God created, but one day, at one time, God created angelic beings. They're more powerful than human beings. They don't have a better prospect than human beings. They don't have a better future than humans. But they're more powerful in their way. But they have a choice to make every day that they live, just like you do, of free will. The devils can obey God or disobey God. And the highest, chiefest of the angels was a man or a fellow named Lucifer. Oh, by the way, all angels are spoken of in the masculine, good or bad. All angels are spoken of in the masculine sense. And everybody can say, hallelujah, you know, I knew all those men were bad and all that kind of thing. Well, the truth is, men, there are no female angels ever spoken of. Only three of them have their names listed. And this one that went to the bad is called Lucifer. And the great warring angel that goes out and gets the work of God done and gets things done, his name is Michael. And the one who carries the best messages from God and brings them down from glory is called Gabriel. Now, you're probably familiar with Gabriel and Michael, probably familiar with one named Lucifer. But we never call Lucifer by his name. We call him by his description. And Lucifer, more than likely, is going to be called Satan. And you say, well, what does that mean? What is Satan? Well, I'll tell you. Satan, the word Satan, means an enemy, an adversary. It means an accuser and a destroyer. None of those things are good, are they? None of those things are anyone you'd want to be associated with. But the truth is, they are for real. And you have to remember what the word Satan means and what the word devil means. And the devil means all the same things that I just said, only it indicates that Lucifer is the chief of the evil spirits. You see, as you read through the scripture, you come to the conclusion that at some time in the past, sometime before we know a whole lot about anything of it was going on, there was a war in heaven. One of these angels, Lucifer, who is the person who is in charge of the singing in heaven, he was in charge of the music, he's in charge of light, and he is pictured as the light. He has so much going for him, and he's so powerful. Next to God, he is the most powerful creature in the whole universe. And he is, at this time, called the prince of the power of the air, because at one time, there was a battle that Satan raised up against God. And you say, Well, he had free will. He saw God sitting on the throne. He's heard the voice of God. He's seen the demonstration of the power of God. What made him turn against God? What made him not become the son of the morning? What made him not become the light giver or the one in charge of the music and praises in heaven? What made him do that? I'll tell you, my friend, his pride. In within himself, he wanted to be like God. He wanted God's place. He wanted to take God's place. So the devil, or Satan as he's designated, my friend, he raised up against God. Sadly, a third of the angels rose up with him. So we have 2/3 of the angels have stood with God, and 1/3 of the angels sided with Lucifer and rose up against God. And there came a war in heaven because of that. And Jesus said, because remember he was there and saw this, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And the scripture bemoans the fact that the devil himself has come down here. Now he's listed now as the prince and the power of the air. My brothers and sisters, I'm convinced that within the atmosphere around the earth, that concerns human beings, that concerns what's going on in the earth, I'm convinced that's the realm that Satan runs. And he's a prince of the power of the air. He's a strong and mighty one. And you have to listen. What kind of a person is he? He's called a dragon, or he's called that old serpent, which is the devil. So my friends, as you look at this morning, you have to realize that we're in a battle. Now, it's sort of like watching a movie. Sounds strange in church, but sometimes you watch a movie, but you didn't see the beginning of it. You didn't see what was going on. But sometime up in it, you suddenly start watching and seeing what's going on, and you don't know what's happened in the past, so you can't get it all together. Well, we're sort of like that about the devil. All of this war and all of this dissension and all of his rebellion against God, it's hard to think of angels rebelling against God. I mean, when I think of angels, I want to see people up over top of a manger in Jerusalem. I mean, in Bethlehem. When I think of angels, I want to see bright and shining ones with white wings, and that's what's been put in our head through the years, isn't it? But truthfully, angels don't always have wings. Yes, there are seraphim and cherubim that have wings, but they're not all winged. Some of them just look like us. And they all evidently have the power to take on human form and come to this earth. But they don't desire so much to take on human form, brothers and sisters, as is they desire to have human beings. They desire to destroy human beings is what they're after. And so they have a chief. Wouldn't you like that to be your epitaph? Wouldn't you like that to be written down for the whole universe to see? Lucifer, the enemy of God, the destroyer of men, the breaker of hearts and the bringer of sorrows and tears and all those things. Well, you know what a dragon is. You know what a serpent is. And my friend, I don't have any love for either one of them. And you recognize that the atmosphere around the earth is the realm that Satan works in. And he works in this earth and works in what's going on. Now, sometimes we'll say the devil in hell. Don't I wish that was the truth? Don't I wish he's in hell? Don't I wish he was there? But my friend, he's not. When he came before, when this happened to Job, Job didn't know what was going on. But what happened was this. Sometime, we don't know what time of a period it is, but there is a time, my brothers and sisters, when the angels come and stand before God and are accountable for what they've been doing and what's been going on in the universe. Now, the angels came before God in the days of Job and stood before him and accounted for what they had been done. And guess who else came? Satan heard that they were having a meeting in heaven. Satan heard some way that the angels were gathered together and God was having a holy convocation, and all the angels had come, all the sons of God were there. So Satan gets himself up and comes also. And God notices that Satan has come in the midst of the angels. And God says to him, "Where did you come from?" And he said, "I came from the earth." "What have you been doing down there?" "I've been running to and fro in the earth, and I've been going after all the people." We read this in the New Testament, that he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, as we look at Satan, you say, well, how does he operate? How do I know it's the devil? What's he doing in this world? Well, I'll tell you, number one, he's a liar. The Bible said he's a liar and the father of lies. One of the first things he did when he approached a human being, and let me tell you something, Satan don't play fair. Satan will not play fair. He'll attack you. He'll attack your wife or husband. He'll attack your children. He will attack your family. He hates families. Satan cannot have a family. Satan cannot. Aren't you glad that Satan cannot have babies born from him? Aren't you glad that there's no little, well, I don't know, I thought I saw some little devils running around. But aren't you glad that Satan cannot procreate? Angels are created beings. They're not born. They're not any part of that. But as Satan looks on human beings, and I have to wonder, when Satan came before God and all the holy angels, and God had the holy convocation, I have to wonder if God didn't put forth his plan for human beings and his plan for men and women to be redeemed. And when Satan saw that plan and saw that men could become sons of God, men could be forgiven of their sins, men could be cleansed by the blood of Calvary, men could be set free from the power of Satan, and men eventually could go live with God and be part of his kingdom of God in the earth and in the universe forever. But he's a liar. He lied to Mother Eve. He lied to Father Adam. He convinced them with his lies and his deceits. And that's the other thing. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. And he appears to be an angel of light. But Jesus said, he has come to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan despises you. He despises all human beings because you are a notch above them. You say, well, angels are so powerful and so smart. They are. And Jesus said he had made man a little lower than the angels. He has. But man has what? Has the capacity to advance in the kingdom of God. Men and women and boys and girls, when we die and go to be with Jesus, or maybe the Lord will come and catch us away, but whenever and wherever and however that is, my brothers and sisters, he has come that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And Satan hates that. He hates it, and he seeks human agents. You say, the devil is seeking human agents? He wants you. You see that poster of Uncle Sam and said, I want you? That's what the devil's doing. He wants you. He wants every human being. He can't stop God from saving you, but he despises you because you're human, and he despises you because you're saved, and he comes against you on every way that he can to do that. And what he would like to do is to possess you entirely. He would like to his evil spirit to come in you and to live in you. And he would like so much to destroy you. And that's what he comes to do. Somebody said, I don't believe in demon possession. Well, I don't believe in it, but I believe it happens. And I believe it's true. And I believe that there are people walking right in this world, maybe even with people we know, who are possessed with demons and need them cast out. And you say, I just don't believe that kind of thing happens. Well, then argue with Jesus about it. When he was here, he spoke to people who had demons. He spoke not only to them, but he spoke to the demons that were in the people. And he cast them out and commanded them to come out. Now I see people all the time attempting to cast out demons. You can flay your hands all you want and wave your hands and play Mommy Woodyard and get you a broom and sweep them out, or play Grandma and shoo them out with your hands. But my friend, the Word of God is what will put the devil on the run. We used to sometimes go places to pray and people want us to have a devil chasing. And they'd want us to chase the devil out of their house or whatever they were doing. And every once in a while, I still run into a little bit of that. But I have to tell you, my friend, what he wants is your soul. He can't stop God from taking you to heaven. But my friend, he can make your life miserable while it's here on earth. And if you're not saved, if you're not covered by the blood, and if the power of the Lord Jesus is not in you, my friend, you're in trouble. You have a lot of trouble, because the possibility is that Satan can come in and take over your body and take over your life and destroy what's in it. And let me tell you, if you give your mind and your intellect away, you say, how would I do that? At the pill bottle, at the drug counter, at the liquor store. You see, when you give your body away and your thoughts away and the control of your mind and thoughts, then that opens the door for Satan to come in. That's all he's waiting on. That's all he's waiting on. He's waiting for you to give yourself over to where you do not have control of your will. You do not have control of who you are and what you are. And as that happens, my friend, I tell you what he will do. He will come in and fill that vacancy where the drugs have made and where the alcohol has made. He will come in and he will possess your soul and your body. And my friend, you cannot be saved until you get rid of him, until Satan goes away. And so he does possess in the church, possess, and he would possess the church if he could. But now I have to tell you, we have a battle with him. You entered in the battle after it's late. I don't know how long ago this battle with Lucifer and a third of the angels and God, I don't know how long ago that was. And as far as I know, no one else knows how long ago that was. But we know that it's true. Now, what do we do? How do we get rid of that devil? Well, first of all, we resist him. You resist the devil. Satan will get in any place that he can get in. And Jesus said, behold, I give you power. Isn't this wonderful? Jesus said, I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Brothers and sisters, Satan can pitch a battle that won't quit. But if you resist him and you gasp a hold, he said, in my name, Mark chapter 16. Some people don't want to quote that scripture. But he said, in my name, speaking of us who are Christians, in my name they shall cast out devils. Wow. Can they do that? Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. They can do that. In the name of Jesus. And let me tell you something. You say, what do I do if the devil's tormenting me, if the devil's around, if the devil's doing things? Well, first thing is pray. He can't stand the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you something else he can't stand. He can't stand for you to sing the praises of God. If Satan is trying to come in your home, if he's trying to come in your life, he's trying to take over your being, my friend, starts singing, praise him, praise him. Amen? He can't do it. And rebuke him. One day I was thinking of something come against me, and I was coming against Satan, and I caught myself saying, "Lord, rebuke the devil." You say, "Well, what's wrong with that?" That wasn't what he told me to do. He didn't tell me to ask the Lord to rebuke the devil. He told me to rebuke the devil. Told me to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And my friend, I can come against Satan and I can rebuke him in the name of Jesus, and he has to flee. And you say, "Well, I don't know. Satan's an awful powerful person. He was a mighty angel and all this thing." Let me tell you something. His power is limited. God limits the Satan's power. We had an evangelist here years ago, and he used to say that Jesus is the devil's boss man. And he's so true about that. Now, you say, "Well, how limited is it?" Well, number one, Satan cannot. Would you say that word with me so you understand it? Cannot. Satan cannot pluck you out of God's hand. That would make him more powerful than God. That would make your salvation subject to him. And it's not. My friend, if you have repented of your sins, if you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you are walking with him, my friend, Satan can create a storm all around you, but he cannot take you away from God. He cannot walk in God's house and grab you and run off with you. He cannot do it. He is limited. He cannot pluck you out of God's hands. Now, I'll tell you what he can do. He can hinder you. You say, "Oh, I don't know. I used to be a famous evangelist." And he used to say, "The devil don't have any power." Well, that's not true. The devil does have power. He has great power. He has wondrous power. He could even call down fire from heaven and deceive the very elect if it was possible. But he can hinder you. He can hinder you in what you want to do for God. He can hinder you in what you need to do for your family. And you say, "How do you know that?" I read in the scripture with the Apostle Paul, of all people. Now, Paul knew that God had power over the devil, didn't he? Remember he cast that demon out of those girl at Philippi? Remember all the times they cast out demons and all those things he did? Well, let me tell you. One time he wrote to one church. He said, "I wanted to come to you the third time. I wanted to come to you." Why didn't he come to them? He's their pastor. He's away. He wants to come to them. Is that out of the will of God? No, that's not out of the will of God. Why would that be? That's what he should be doing. If he's any kind of pastor at all, he ought to have been coming and visit his churches and see to it that the word of God's brought to them and all those things. Well, my friend, he said, "I would have come to you." And three times he would have tried to come to that church. And what happened? Said, "But Satan hindered me." Satan couldn't take his soul. Satan couldn't take him away. Satan couldn't possess his body. Because I don't believe he can be possessed with the Holy Ghost and possessed with the devil all at the same time. That don't make sense. That's unscriptural anyway, to tell you the truth. But when we look at this, we notice that Paul is hindered, what? By the devil. He said, "Satan hindered me." Now, Satan also can do something else. He can tempt you. And you say, "Oh no, I don't believe the devil can tempt anybody." Well, what about that fellow that was born to Mary, raised by Joseph? What about that fellow named Jesus Christ? And he went into the wilderness and was what? Tempted of the devil for 40 days, 40 nights. Men are tempted by the devil, Satan. Well, when you go to the grocery store or any of these big box stores, they got all these wonderful shelves to put stuff on. And the shelves are full of all kinds of goodies. But they got some way, they've got to get you to reach up there in that shelf and get that down and take it home with you. But you don't always do that. So what do they do to make it more enticing for you to do that? They set it right smack dab in the middle of the aisle so you have to run into it. They put it out there with a sign on it, you know, and I counted it one day. I went in a grocery store one day and they had this display of mayonnaise. And here it sits, looks great, looks wonderful. And it had a big sign on it with the price that this belonged to. Man, it just made you want to take three or four jars of it and put it in your buggy and take it home with you. And you say, well, what stops you from doing it? Because I went down the aisle to the place where the mayonnaise regularly was, looked at the mayonnaise sitting on the shelf, and guess what the price was? Same old price. They didn't say it was on sale. They just set it out in the middle so you'd want it. And I know the devil makes them put the cookies out in the middle of the aisle. The devil's bound to be the one that does that. You see, he can tempt you, and he can cause you to be tempted. You don't have to give in to it. You've got power over it. But I have to tell you something, folks. It's not always easy to overcome. You remember I told you earlier, Satan don't play fair? He'll go at you from every angle to get you to submit to the temptation. He'll go at you from every angle to pull you down. And I have to tell you something else. Do you know who's in charge of death? The devil. We don't like to say that. But I'm telling you, the devil is in charge of death. And you say, how can you say that? Because I read it in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. Who has the power of death? He says the devil has the power of death. Now, how does he use that? Because he puts fear. Satan uses death all over the world to put fear into your heart, to put fear into your life. Brothers and sisters, I said this morning, I wish that thing in Ukraine would quit. I wish all those people would quit being killed and shot and blowed up and their houses blowed down and all the things that they're going through that. I wish it wouldn't. And my friend, I don't fear so much about that. But if you were on the Russian border and you lived in Ukraine, you would be very afraid of those troops coming across that line. And let me tell you, my friend, we have never experienced war on our soil like other people have. Only the worst war we ever experienced on our soil, unfortunately, and to our shame, was when we were shooting each other in the Civil War. That's the worst war we've ever had on our own land. And brothers and sisters, Satan uses the fear of death. Satan has the power of death. And I don't know, some way or another, you think about those men that Jesus cast the demons out of. Can you imagine casting enough demons out of a human being to drive 1,000 pigs crazy and run over a cliff and kill themselves? Can you imagine that? Well, it happened in the Bible. Jesus was there, and what happened? The devils recognized him. Every time Jesus Christ came, the devils recognized that he was the Son of God. And they would want to tell, and Jesus said, be quiet. It's not time to tell it. You don't tell it. But they did. How did they recognize him? They already knew him. They were demons. They had seen him in heaven. They had seen him before they came to earth. They already knew that. So my friends, we fight at a terrible adversary. We fight an awful adversary. But my friend, we also fight an adversary whose power is limited. We fight an adversary who ultimately has to be subject to our Maker and our Master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. There is a day coming. There is a day coming when even the angels will stand before God and be judged again. And why do you say again? Sometime before we came along, there was a judgment against the angels that had rebelled. I don't know how that judgment took place. I don't know exactly where it took place for sure. I don't know what all happened there, but I'll tell you what the end result was. They were found guilty. A third of the angels were found guilty in the courts of God and were decreed, somebody said, talks about going to hell. Hell is not your place. It was not created for you. God did not intend for human beings ever to go to hell. But my friend, I can tell you this, Satan and his angels have already been condemned to hell. They're waiting only the final judgment. But until then, my friend, I want to tell you, you have a fight on your hands. Satan will tempt you, stab you, cut you, undermine you, do everything he can to ruin your life. He will make life miserable if he can, but he cannot. Tell him every time, Satan, you can make me miserable. You can make me cry. You can make me bow my back down because the burden's heavy. But Satan, I want you to know one thing. You can't take me away from my Jesus. You can't change the blood of Calvary that was spilled for me. You can't take away the power over death that Jesus Christ brought when he stepped out that Easter Sunday morning and they rolled a stone away. And that glorious day he walked out, my friend, and he mastered death, hell, and the grave. And he turned away the power of Satan. And Satan, you can't do it anymore. Oh yes, we may die. Oh yes, we'll probably die. And Satan has the power of death on this earth, but he does not have the power to kill my soul. He does not have the power to take me down to torment with him. Satan, I may be miserable on this earth, but I want you to know one thing, old boy. You're not going to keep me out of the kingdom of God. Because I looked in the book of the Revelation, and that old dragon, the serpent, was carrying on awful on this world. But when I looked up to heaven, I saw that the door was open, and Jesus Christ had walked through that door and up to the heavenly throne, my friend, and everything in heaven praised God and cast their crowns down before him, and the glory of God appeared. My friend, there is a devil. He is a formidable adversary. He is an enemy and a destroyer. He's in the dragon and serpent category, and he destroys human beings as often and in every way that he can. That's why he wants you to take dope, folks. That's why he wants you to drink liquor. That's why he wants you to destroy your life, is so that he can pull you down. But my friend, he can do all of that. He can tempt you to do it. And some of us are weak in some ways more than others. But I want you to know, my friend, that old Satan, your kingdom has to come down. Oh, Satan, we're going to keep on keeping on till we get to the end of the journey. And Satan, my body may rest in the earth, but my spirit will be with Jesus. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I invite you today, if you're not saved, to come. If you are saved, I invite you to tap in to the power of God. And let the Lord come down in your life and rebuke the powers of the enemy. And yes, you may need to walk through your house and pray against the powers of Satan in your family. Satan don't like families. Satan's favorite place in town, one of them, is the divorce court. Satan does not like people to be happy and free and saved. But my friend, he knows. He's already been judged. He knows that he's lost. He knows that the only thing he can do is one by one take souls down to hell with him. He knows that he cannot take you away from God. And you, my friend, can sing, "What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms." And my friend, I can rejoice today in the fact. Think about it, of all the people who have lived and all the power that Satan has exerted to inflict heartache and sadness on human beings. Think about it. In the midst of all of that, God reached down his hand for me. Father God, I pray today that the Spirit of God will bless us with your presence. I pray that you'll touch us with your grace and with your love. I pray that you will show us the way to go. And Father, may every heart here be touched. May every soul that listens by transcription be touched. And Lord, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, recognizing that Satan is vanquished and the power of God has come to overcome the enemy. Lord, Satan's a liar. He cannot take us away from you. Lord, Satan's a deceiver. He does not have anything that even compares to the glory that you have. And Father, we thank you that he cannot destroy us in our spirit, but only torment our bodies. Lord, help us to see the necessity of turning again away from Satan and turning our hearts and lives over to God. Amen. Congregation.